Welcome, everybody. Respect, indeed, and I have buckets of it for our fabulous panel of amazing Black female leaders from across the state. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy Juneteenth, everybody. We have a show-long celebration of Black Americans and specifically these amazing Black female leaders. We've got Sabrina Madison, CEO of the Progress Center for Black Women. She's also a Madison Alderwoman. We've got Dana Pelabon joining us. She's the Executive Director of the RCC Sexual Violence Resource Center. She's also a former Dane County Supervisor. And we've got Elle Halo, founder and CEO of Trance Consulting. Ladies, before the break, we were talking about an abundance mindset. And I really have always thought, sort of in the line of like bell hooks and transformative love and vulnerability and togetherness, that coming to a lot of places and spaces with an abundance mindset, and oh, were it that way in our political sphere, right? I think so much is being driven in this moment by this concept of false scarcity and then fracturing communities apart and pitting us against folks that we have so much more in common with than divides us. And so I wanted to ask each of you about how you see that abundance mindset showing up in your work, because when I was reading about all of your accomplishments and the work that you do now, that was coming through to me. Elle planted the seed in my head with her amazing video on her website, which is trancebyellehalo.com. But Sabrina, let me start with you. How does the abundance mindset show up in your work as the CEO of the Progress Center for Black Women?
Yeah, it really, to me, honestly, comes down to community care. Oftentimes, we don't believe we have a lot or enough, but if we really think about it, we have tons of resources, whether our resources at home, our resources can be our external professional networks, for example. We absolutely have much to give each other. And in the time where we're living with this return of the person in the White House right now, it's more important to lean on the kind of abundance that we can access, which is each other through community care. Probably the quickest example I can give you is during the pandemic, we switched what we were doing day to day to focus on just going by Black women's houses, whether we were dropping off a check or sharing a resource on where a food pantry might be coming up, or sitting outside coloring with a Black woman for a half hour, an hour, because she was missing social connection. So really, for me, abundance comes down to having an abundance mindset is oftentimes even more so important for me about leaning into community care, because, you know, I'm not wealthy. I don't have a ton of financial resources, but I do have a pretty expansive professional and social network that I can lean on.
Yeah, especially in these times, right? Overall employment has gone up. Our economy has added 177,000 jobs since the beginning of the year. And yet Black women have lost 233,000 jobs. Women and Black women especially don't often have the financial backings of wealthy parents or, you know, other basically benefactors when times get hard or jobs are lost.
And so other organizations.
Yes, that is so absolutely essential. Elle, as long as you're, please go ahead. How does abundance mindset show up in your work?
I think abundance mindset for me definitely ties into Juneteenth in that my mom is a minister. And so for me, it's faith-based. And I'm a spiritual person. And I've grown and had a journey as a spiritual person, as a Christian, and just in my spirituality and being a Black woman of trans experience and being a two-spirited person is how I identify. That includes the tenacity to keep going no matter what, to have the faith to say, regardless of the world, the entire world can be against me, you know, and still being able to push on. I think that's the legacy that we walk in as a Black trans woman here in Milwaukee. I walk in that legacy, following in behind Josie Carter, who led the Black Night Brawl. We walk in that same memory of Juneteenth and that same memory and spirit of the ancestors all the time. With Marsha P. Johnson, I've been able to have a personal connection with just in the nature of the work and in the nature of the experiences that I'm privileged to have. Miss Major lived in Wisconsin a couple years ago. We banned conversion therapy, and when she was 14 years old, like in the 50s, she moved to Wisconsin. I don't know if it was like the 50s, might have been like the 70s. I have no idea what time it was, not to put
before
a new age on Miss Major, but yes, on Miss Major, everybody tried to put too many years on her name, but yes, you know. I've been able to see her this year two or three times, and be able to have personal conversation with her in Boston for the 25th anniversary of Trans Day of Remembrance, and getting to experience the Boston community and them standing in the legacy of Rita Hester, who was killed there, and having that connection with the violence and the murders here in Milwaukee that I've been kind of standing and doing as much as I can. And I just hope and pray every day that I can continue to do more for the trans community because of the violence. And it's violence that I definitely am a survivor and have been a survivor of many different things throughout my life, as well as sexual assault, as well as harassment, stalking, cyber stalking, and different things like that. And those are the types of things that we have to deal with all the time as Black trans women. Domestic violence, all those things, is the types of things that we have to deal with as Black trans women. And we also deal with that stigma. But again, I think all Black women, wherever you fall on the spectrum of being a femme, being a marginalized gender, being QTPOC, wherever you fall on that spectrum, I think that we all walk in the tenacity that Black women have as well to say again that I'm no matter what the odds are, no matter what the oppression is, we're going to continue to press forward and do that not just for ourselves, but do it as a backbone for the rest of the community as well.
It's so inspiring. Again, you look at every single justice movement in this country's history,
mm-hmm.
Black women. Right. None of that happens without Black women. So thank you so much. I think much,
abundance though. Specifically means that we already have what we need. Community already has what we need. Black women already have what we need. We need people to get out the way. We need people to step down out of their positions and to transition the correct way and invest in youth and in leadership that looks different than them. The correct way and mentor them, not pushing you to the side, but now it's time to transition to let new leadership, new ideas be able to come in, but also giving them the training, the skills, and the time and effort and personal relationship and development that it takes to build a new generation of leadership, because a lot of the things that we have all seen, and we must agree no matter what age group or demographic you're in, a lot of the stuff is not working and has not been working for obviously since the beginning of the country. So we have a lot of work to do, and I think that we should do that. I think that we should do it, but do it with, like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I feel like this is like another like church thing. Like, do it. We should do it with like urgency and joy.
Urgency and joy.
Yeah.
Urgency and joy. Dana, how does the abundance mindset fit and show up in your work?
So specifically at RCC, what it looks like is that we don't say no. We always try to find what are the needs of the community and fulfill those needs. And it's one of the reasons why we have expanded our services. We have looked at all of our programming to make sure that it actually fits what the community is asking from us, that our educational programming in the schools is exactly what is needed, and that we are giving the message about prevention. We are giving the message about anti-oppression, because we know that we can't eradicate sexual violence until we eradicate all forms of oppression. It's all interlinked, and we talk very specifically about that in our schools. We talk very specifically about making sure that people have what they need. So I think about what Sabrina says, what Ellie says. It is all about ensuring that the resources in a community are getting into the right spaces, getting into the right hands, the people that need them. And like Elle said, people need to step out of the way. More often than not, we have the answers. We have the answers. We understand what is needed for our community. We don't need you to come in with another survey, with another group. The abundance is in the brilliance that is in our community. That abundance is there. And how we enact it, you know, I can enact it in 17 different ways at RCC, whether that be expanding our programming to make sure that people get free therapy, to expanding what it is that we do artistic. So I'm a theater director, producer. So we are building the Center for Black Excellence. And that is in an artistic space that's very specifically about abundance of Black art in space and a building that is set up for our community, and not just one part of the community, but looking at it holistically, looking at health, looking at finances, looking at art, looking at what it is that the community is asking from us. And it's the thing that I love the best about the two other women's work that I sit here and I watch. I watch Sabrina Madison a lot. She listens to the community. I watch Al. They listen to the community. And none of this brilliance and none of this abundance comes from outside of ourselves. It becomes because we are in spaces doing the work. And we understand what work is needed. And I'm going to need, and I'm going to say this real specifically, I'm going to need white folks to get out of the way and allow Black women to lead. And instead of tearing down Black women because you don't like how it is that we say something, understand we know what our community needs, because we have been the backbone of this community from the get. And that does not mean that our Black men do not do the same things for us, but we are the birthers, we are the nurturers, we are the doers. And that is where that abundance lies. And so we need to rely on that.
Y'all built the table, right? You should be sitting at it. It is really a privilege and such a honor to have you all with me today. It's moving, and it reminds me about being in movement and being in community. And it reminds me when I need to get out of the way. I want to talk about claiming space for yourselves, what that means for each of you. And we want to get to, in this last segment coming up here, if white folk listening to this want to be true allies, what does that look like? How do we get out of the way better? And perhaps it's to have some of these kinds of conversations and listen. I'm going to be doing more of that on the other side, so that these three fabulous Black female leaders can speak more of their truths. Please stay with us. Happy Juneteenth Day. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network.